Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Back to the 1 Corinthian epistle. Back to the beginning of that epistle, where we learn about the author, the Apostle Paul, and his assistant, Sosthenes, who helped in some way. And we're now learning about the recipients of this epistle, who are, in fact, the members of the church at Corinth. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. On the broadcast yesterday, we talked about the founding of the church at Corinth, and it's a very interesting story, very intriguing and very encouraging. You'll find it recorded in Acts chapter 18. But you will find that though this city was a challenge, it was wealthy and it was immoral. There was a saying in that day, if you were an immoral person, that you lived like a Corinthian, because Corinth had a reputation for immorality. It was sort of the Las Vegas of that day, a very wealthy, wealthy city, but also a very immoral city, and the kind of place where many Christians would say, no use trying to plant a church there. Nobody there is going to listen to the gospel. Nobody there is going to be saved. No use in doing that. And Paul had a different perspective altogether. He came to this strategic city, a most significant city in the Roman Empire, and he went there deliberately. And his take was, if there was ever a place that needed the church, it's here. So let's preach the gospel and see what God may do. Recognizing that God didn't always bless his preaching with sufficient fruit to plant a church. He had come from the city of Athens before he arrived in Corinth, and there he labored very courageously and enthusiastically and did not leave a church behind. It just didn't happen. God didn't bless his labors there in that way. And so leaving there, he went 40 miles further west to Corinth, which turns out to be the furthest west he had gone so far in his missionary labors. And he went to the city of Corinth, and he said, well, let's preach the gospel and see what happens here. God may bless my preaching to the establishment of a church. God may not, but we won't know until we give it a try. And that was Paul's attitude, and he certainly recognized the need for a church in Corinth, though I'm sure he also recognized the need for a church in Athens. But it didn't happen there, but now it's going to happen in a wonderful way. And that's why we have a book in the Bible called 1 Corinthians, and of course another one called 2 Corinthians, because God did bless his labors there. We don't have Paul's epistle to Athens. We've got his epistle to Rome, his epistle to Corinth, his epistle to Thessalonica, his epistle to Colossae, and so forth. But we don't, to Ephesus, but we don't have an epistle to Athens. No church there. But we have two large epistles to the Church of God, which is at Corinth. And this is the first of the two, and we will continue after I welcome you to this Tuesday, March 23 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And thank you for remembering that we are in need of your financial help. Well, he preached the gospel in Corinth, that city that many would have said, not there. And Paul said, here's a place that needs it. Let's see what God will do. And God did bless, and a church was established. He labored there for almost 2 years. And God blessed his labors, and a great number of people were saved, and a church was established. But it is a church that had a lot of problems. In fact, according to what is recorded in the New Testament, we would have to say this church in Corinth seemed to be the most problematic of all the churches that Paul founded. Now, we don't know if there were some that had problems that are not recorded. We can't base any kind of an argument on information that we don't have, but according to the information we do have, we would have to say the church at Corinth was certainly the most problematic of all of Paul's churches. It really had a lot of problems, and I'll list some of them for you in a moment. And that's a great deal of what he does in the first epistle, is addresses these problems. He's answering their questions in many cases, and he's addressing problems that existed in the church. But in spite of its problems, Paul loved this church. He loved these people. He saw great promise in this church. He didn't give up on them because of their problems. He just continued to preach the truth to them and to help them overcome these problems. And it's clear from the information we get in these two epistles that this church was particularly dear to the Apostle Paul. He didn't become disgusted with it because of its problems and say, I'm going to wash my hands of you and go someplace else where people are going to be more responsive to the truth. Not at all. We can learn an awful lot of things about ministry from the Apostle Paul in regard to Corinth. What are some of the problems? Let me list some. Divisions in the church. That's a pretty common problem in our day, and it certainly was in Corinth, and we'll learn some things about that that may help us in our day. Immorality in the church. Uh-oh. And that, too, unfortunately, is a problem in our day more frequently than we would desire. Lawsuits in the church. People taking one another to court, suing them. Marriage issues. People who had a wrong viewpoint toward marriage, who had completely erroneous, ungodly, unbiblical ideas about marriage that needed to be corrected. The roles of men and women in the church were an issue and a problem. Abuses of the Lord's table, misuse of spiritual gifts, denial of the doctrine of the bodily resurrection, and failure to give as they ought to give in their obligation to the Lord and in their worship of giving. There were a lot of weaknesses and problems in the Corinthian church, and yet they are problems, at least many of them, that happen today, some of them very frequently, some of them maybe not quite so regularly, but probably all of these problems can be found in churches in America, and so we can learn a great deal as Paul deals with these things. Now, Paul became aware of some of these problems by their letters to him. It's clear there's reference to a lot of letters going back and forth, a lot of communication between Paul and the church at Corinth. And so they wrote to him and revealed some of their problems and asked for help, asked for advice and for answers to their questions. For example, we find reference to that in chapter 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me. They wrote to him. It's not just that he wrote to them, they wrote to him. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me. It is good for a man not to touch a woman, therefore there he gets into the issues of marriage, answering specifically questions that they forwarded to him. Some of the problems didn't come to him by way of epistle from Corinth, but they were communicated to him verbally by others who either visited Corinth or members of the Corinthian church who traveled to other places, and they communicated some of the problems to Paul. For example, chapter 1, verse 11, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you." Somebody told Paul problems that were going on. We've got the same sort of thing in chapter 5, verse 1. "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you." Somebody had reported that to the Apostle Paul. So his awareness of the problems came to him, in some cases, by letters from the church, by the communication of others, and by a series of exchanges of epistles that went back and forth. It's impossible to be certain, but it would seem that actually Paul wrote at least 4 letters to Corinth. We can be absolutely certain of 3, and probably are correct in finding reference to 4, of which we only have 2 in the New Testament. We don't have 3 Corinthians and 4 Corinthians, but we do have 1 and 2 Corinthians. What happened to the other 2? Well, we don't know. The Holy Spirit of God didn't preserve them. Were they inspired scripture? We don't know that either. That's one of those unanswered questions. Wouldn't it be helpful to have the other epistles and to get a little bit more background material of what was going on? Well, it certainly would satisfy our curiosity, but clearly the Holy Spirit of God did not think it necessary for us to have those other epistles. The ones that he wanted us to have, we have. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, we have those. But we are going to address these problems as we come to them in the epistle, so we don't want to continue doing that today. But let's look at what the Lord did in Corinth in spite of all of these problems which developed along the way. But notice again the language of verse 2. "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ, rather our Lord, both theirs and ours." Notice how Paul describes the members of this church in this opening salutation. He says these people have been sanctified by Christ Jesus. That is a term that means they had been set apart by God. Those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, who have been set apart by God to be given to Christ Jesus. There may be problems in the church, like there are in every church to some extent, hopefully not to the extent that we find them in Corinth, but in every church, there's not a perfect church anywhere. There's not a perfect pastor anywhere. There are not perfect deacons anywhere. There aren't perfect Sunday school teachers and choir members anywhere. There aren't perfect members of a church anywhere. Anywhere. People who leave a church because it has defects in it are showing an awful lot of immaturity, frankly. I mean, there are times that when it's appropriate, but you left it because there is a problem? Well, you think that you're going to find a church where there are no problems? You're just kidding yourself. But anyway, we'll take this up tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.